There's no other human beings that can provide all of your needs. Only the Lord Jehovah can. Even as intimate and the relationship a husband and wife can get, they still can't provide what each other really needs. The only one that can do that is the Lord. The Lord is the one that provides fully what a human being needs in his or in her life. No other human beings can do that. They can help, but in essence, they can't provide. There's no way that I can ever satisfy another person. There's no way. There's some person who can be happy. You know that. You can't please everybody. But sometimes you can please this particular person at one point, if you do this particular thing. And then the next time you do something else, this person that you pleased at the other time that you did is not happy with you today. It's because you can never please them. You can never satisfy somebody totally. Only the Lord can. And by the way, He can't totally satisfy you unless you yield yourself to Him and you let Him be your satisfaction. You see, we tend to look to the world. We tend to look to the things that the world provides for us to provide us happiness and satisfaction and contentment, when in essence, those things can never do it. They can do it for a little time. They can do it for a while. But then it runs out. It gets old. It's not fresh. And so you find something else to help you. But the Lord, see, never changes. He's the same yesterday, forever. And your relationship with the Lord, if I can help you with anything, is fresh almost every day. In fact, every day. The relationship that we can have with God can be fresh every single day. His mercy is renewed for us every morning. I said this before. He'll never give us any leftovers. He's there. His time He gives you today is different from the time He gave you yesterday. It's a brand new day. And He's willing to spend that with you as much as you want to spend it with Him. He's on all times available to you. It's just a matter of how much you're available to Him today. God is always there. He never sleeps nor slumbers. You can talk to Him at any time. You can be as close to God as you want. And He's willing to be as close as you want Him to be to you. But it's your decisions to how close you can be to Him. He's your all-provider. If you ask you today, all that you'll ever need in your life, financially, all of it, financially, materially, physically, in your health, in your family life, in your love life, and everything else, if I can tell you, I know who it is that can provide for all of those needs, you probably would run to that person. And how oftentimes do we run away from God instead of going to Him when He says He can provide for all those things? We run away and go find something else. Why? Because we're so focused on physical. And our eyes are on the material things because we can see it. Rather than looking on God that we cannot see, but He's always there. You can feel the presence of God. And it's not a hokey-pokey scary thing. It's not to make you speak in tongues or roll down on the ground or do some flip-flop or somersault or whatever you think it may be. But He's real. He's a real being. And He's willing to provide for you. He's willing to provide for you. Yes, in no way will cast you out if you come to Him. Come unto Me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest unto your souls. Take My yoke upon Me, learn of Me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest. And God wants to give us the rest that we need. And we can find that in Him as Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. He knows everything. And His knowledge is from everlasting to everlasting. It's an eternal wisdom. There's nobody else in the world that can be smarter than our Lord. Nobody can say to Him, "What are you doing?" He always knows what He's doing. He knows what's going on. He's not taken in surprise. He's not shocked because something happened. He knows what's going on. And we can trust in Him. We sure can. If you want to turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse 7. This is not in your notes. Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse 7. I love my big Bible. I just have a hard time turning it. Ephesians chapter number 5. Where's Ephesians? In the New Testament? Ephesians chapter number 5. There we go. I think it's after 2 Corinthians somewhere. Galatians. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 7. It says in verse number 6, No man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. We are not lost anymore. We're found. So don't walk around like you're lost, because the lost people notice if you're walking around lost. They know that there's a difference if you have something to live for. There's a purpose for living. God gives us a purpose for living. We're not here to just exist and walk around. When we get saved, in fact, before we were saved, there was a purpose. Revelation 4:11 is that to glorify the Lord. We were made to give Him pleasure. But we lost that in sin, and so we went on our own way, and we did that which was right in our own eyes. But then when we got saved, we were in darkness. Now we're into light. We saw the light. And the Word of God reveals Himself, the Lord Jesus, all the time to us. Every time we read it, every time it's preached to us, every time the truth of God is proclaimed, we can now see that this is what we ought to do. So as children of life, God provides us that insight. We don't have to walk lost. We can walk around with purpose. We can walk around knowing what we're doing. You know, some of the times we don't think about it as much, but the world indirectly implants us, or the culture of this life, I talked this before, that the culture of the world would implant in our mind a particular action. For instance, if you graduated from high school, the idea of the world is that you need to go to college. Is that anywhere in the Bible? Or if you turn 20, young ladies, you're supposed to get married. Is that anywhere in the Bible? And so we get all of these things. Is it, ladies? Is it anywhere in the Bible that says that you have to be a skinny person to be beautiful? Is it anywhere in the Bible? But we get all of those thoughts and ideas and culture when the world teaches us, and we adopt them without knowing, because we're still looking like we're living like the lost people. But we have the light of the Word of God. The Bible looks into the heart, and the Bible tells us that favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but she that feared the Lord, she shall be praised. This has nothing to do with anything physically. It's something to do with your relationship with the Lord. That's what makes a woman beautiful, is their relationship with their Lord, because the Lord will beautify them. The Lord will beautify the meek. Meekness is something desirable. It's something wonderful. God will beautify the meek. And that's what we find beautiful in the Word of God. If you look at it, I studied the word beautiful, and some of the things that the Lord found beautiful, we won't think is beautiful. He said that the hoary head is a crown of glory to the older man, and it's beautiful in His sight, in another passage. And we don't look at that when we see somebody we color our hairs because we don't think it's beautiful. But God looks at it as beautiful. The feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. If you would look at my feet, and I got shoes on and soft for purpose, because you don't want to look at my feet. It's not so desirable. But God looks at them. If you're presenting the gospel of peace, He said those are beautiful things. And so we need to get our thinking, and we need to find it in the Bible. And we can't let the world tell us how to think, for we're not lost anymore. We're in the light. We have the truth in our very hands every day. And we can open up the Word of God, and every time we open it up, we open up the mind of God. If you want to find out what God thinks about, then you got His Word. And He tells you what He thinks about in very detailed form. And you can get what He thinks about. He'll provide for you. He'll provide the things that you need. Jehovah, because Jehovah is omniscient, He foresees everything. Because Jehovah is omniscient, He foresees everything. Another word for seeing is vision. From the Latin word video, to see, thus with God, foreseeing is for vision. Jesus, as Jehovah of righteousness, holiness, as Jehovah of righteousness, holiness, love, and redemption, and having provision of man's sin, fall, and need, He makes provision. For what? For that need. Provision is a compound of two Latin words, meaning to see beforehand. To provide is the verb, provision. Oh, I'm going ahead of you guys. Here we go. I think we can finish this lesson today. I'm happy about that. All right, provision. Provision is a compound of two Latin words meaning to see beforehand. To provide is the verb. Provision is a noun of seeing beforehand. Thus, to God, prevision is followed by provision. Because God knows the future, He foresees things, He then knows how to provide for you. That's amazing. Our God can pay attention to you in so detail. He knows your past, He knows your present, and He knows your future. And He can provide for you in the future. He foresees what's happening now, and He can provide now, but also He is willing to provide for you in the future. In Jehovah, seeing is also found Jehovah providing. Jehovah Jireh equals God will provide. Genesis 22:8 says, "My son, God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering." It would translate, "God will see it," or "God will see for Himself a lamb." The meaning remains provide. Abraham knew Jehovah as Jireh on Mount Moriah because Abraham knew God's provision would be seen. The need was not known to Abraham until Mount Moriah, and the provision was not revealed to him until he, by faith, accepted God's will. We see from the biblical account in Hebrews that he clearly expected God to provide, and that's what I was talking to you about. The Bible talks about in Hebrews that God... I'm getting ahead of you, right? Yes, I got ahead of you a little bit. There you go. There's an account in Hebrews of Abraham seeing God in a figure. And I believe that Abraham believed God. I believe that Abraham knew that his son will be resurrected from the grave. He believed in the resurrection. See, Abraham's faith was counted to him as righteousness. Faith. Faith. We get saved by faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and His works and not our own. And that faith doesn't stop. That faith grows. The minute of our salvation, we were born into the family of God, and we got born through faith. The Bible tells us that God gives every man a measure of faith. We have been given by God that part of us that we will believe. We will trust something. And we trust something every day. You sit down on the pew there, you're happy that there was not a kid that put a gum there, and you didn't pay attention, you just probably sat down. And I don't know. I'm not going to tell you what I put on some of your chairs. No. I didn't do anything to any of your chairs. Maybe the janitor did. No, you don't have to. Nobody did anything to your chair. You just sit on it. But you trust everything. You trust certain things in your life. And God gives us a measure of faith. And when we ask Him, we were short. Okay. Anybody didn't get one? Wow, it looked like they all got one. That's all right, sir. Thank you. But when we trust God, we don't have all of the faith that necessarily that God wants to give us. He wants to increase our faith. And so when we accept the Lord Jesus as Savior, that faith gets to grow. Just like a little kid doesn't stay a little kid, they grow up. And so is with faith. And it grows, and it grows, and it grows. And you have to nurture it, and you have to cherish it. And it's that part that God wants to increase in our lives. And so He said, step up a little bit farther. He doesn't show you everything that's going to happen. In fact, if God were to come, and He knows everything per se, He foresees your future, and He tells you everything that might happen in your life or will happen, you would probably be very, very shocked. And you might be scared in doing anything. And God doesn't do that because He wants you every day to live by faith. The just shall live by faith. And He wants you to do that for one reason. You know what that is? You're always dependent on Him. And God likes that. God likes for you to depend on Him. God likes you to trust Him. Because in trusting Him, you know what you end up becoming, doing? When you start trusting somebody, you end up loving them. And God wants you to love them. And God wants you to love Him. And when you start trusting Him, you, sometime along the way, will start loving Him. And you will love Him in a way that is amazing. And the point in life that you're going to start saying that I can't live without Him. And so it's that. that what God wants to do. He will provide for you. You just simply trust Him. And it's by faith. And Abraham did that. The whole of the meaning is more clearly defined when we understand that Abraham called the place the Mount of the Lord, or Mount Moriah, which is kindred to Jireh, Jehovah seeing, or scene of Jah, or the vision of Jehovah. Example, in the Mount of Jehovah, or in Moriah, that is where Jehovah shall see, he shall be seen. When Jehovah sees provision, the need, when Jehovah is seen, provision, the supply. And so that's what God wants to do. He wants to supply your need, and He knows your need. Abraham set up a surety before they ascended the mount that Jehovah would provide, and that provision would be seen on the mount. But God wants you to go without knowing, without seeing. You know, as a missionary, I have no idea when, per se. I have some figures in my mind of how many years I want to stay in deputation. But in the other sense, the Lord will provide for that. And I don't know how long it will take. I don't know how long it will take. But I'm trusting the Lord. It's a step of faith. And I'm trusting Him. He'll provide for me. Somebody said, with the Lord's call comes the Lord's supply. And He will provide. If He wants me to be there, and He called me to be there, He'll provide a way for me to get there. And Abraham set up a surety before they ascended into the mount that God will provide, A, physically. The ram caught in the thicket, provided before the sacrifice was offered, was revealed to Abraham after he committed this sacrifice. Spiritually, in the mount of the Lord, am I skipping a lot of stuff? There we go. Spiritually, in the mount of the Lord, Jehovah would provide a sacrifice to meet the need of fallen, sinful men, and that Jehovah sees, He provides for. And God just did that. He provided Himself. And He came and died for us. From the very foundation of the world, God has provided for men. Before the fall, a sacrifice was provided in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. God promises eternal life before the world began. Look at this. Jehovah has also had the provision, and that provision was revealed on the Mount of Jehovah, or the place of Jehovah's provision. Here's our last page. Abraham's confidence was based on God's ability to see the need and supply the provision. In Isaac, Abraham was tested of the Lord. What about when you are tested? Do you really believe God? Abraham looked for the Lord's leading. Would it be the death of Isaac and then the resurrection? Would it be a stay of the knife? What about the sacrifice? Abraham looked to the Lord of the mountain who would provide himself a sacrifice. When Abraham looked for the sacrifice, God revealed to him a ram. John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh the sin of the world." John 1:29. Jesus said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." John 12:32. Mount Moriah is revealed in Calvary. Perhaps the crucifixion day was the day our Lord spoke to the Jews. "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." John 8:56. Jehovah Jireh, the God who sees and provides. And Abraham found Him to be faithful. Hebrews 11:17-19. Romans 8:31-32. "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" Jehovah shall provide. Jehovah shall be seen. As Elohim, God demanded the sacrifice of Isaac, but as Jehovah, He made complete provision of a substitute for the son Abraham willingly offered. Where God commanded, He supplied. And that's what I was saying earlier. And have no fear in that. Augustine said, "Command what thou wilt, then give what thou commandest." Apostle Paul said, "Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it." Truly God has made provision, and God has seen your need, for Jehovah Jireh is our God. And the fulfilling of the promised land upon Mount Calvary, Mount Moriah, is the promise of every provision needed in a Christian life. Romans 8:32, Philippians 4:19, Hebrews 11:39, 40. The name of Jehovah Jireh arose out of the incident of Jehovah's provision for a substitute in the place of Isaac, whom he commanded Abraham to sacrifice upon the altar. We see this incident, a foreshadowing of Jehovah's great provision for man's redemption in the sacrifice of his only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who was the one, who was the Lamb of God that taketh the sin of the world. He was offered upon on the very spot where Abraham had predicted. In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen, that is Mount Moriah in Jerusalem, the scene of Calvary. It's a pretty neat thing. Where Isaac was to be offered, the Lord promised he would provide himself a lamb. And in the very place, God gave them a ram, which is not a lamb. God didn't make a mistake when he said, I will provide you a lamb, and then he provided a ram. See, we've talked about that in the Old Testament. Remember the tabernacle, when we studied that before this series. The ram represented a consecration. When they sacrificed the ram, it was to consecrate something. See, when God provided the ram, he was consecrating that spot. He was saying to Abraham, hey, Abraham, the vision I provided you before, I'm going to perform it someday. And guess what? The very place that Mount Moriah, the very place that Abraham took his son to offer him, someday the God of heaven would sacrifice his own begotten son. And now we call it the Mount Calvary. God is faithful. God is faithful. And thus, we can trust him. We can put our faith in God because he's faithful. He provided. That's a long time from Abraham to the sacrifice time. That was a long time. That's before the children of Israel was a people. God was working with Abraham. But yet he provided them a lamb. And he performed it. And God provides you with something, but you need to go ahead and step up and do what he has you to do. He's not going to tell you every detail about it. He's not going to, per se, show you in a vision when you're dreaming at night. He's not going to show you anything, per se. He's going to have you do it step by step. And then you trust him more, he reveals more. You trust him more, he reveals more. You trust him more, he reveals more. If he sees you trusting, and you say, well, this guy's going to trust me, I'm going to show him just a little bit more. And then on those little bits, you're like, ah! But then you say, well, I'm going to buckle down and trust him. And you trust him, he'll show you more. And pretty soon, the end of your life, you can look back and say, I'm so glad I trusted him. And you can have foresight now. I'm glad I trusted him when I called me to be a preacher when I was 12 years old. I'm glad I trusted him that I went to that particular Bible college I went to. I'm glad I trusted him to stay at this church. I'm glad I did this. Why? At the time, I didn't know. The time that I had to make the decision, I didn't know what was going to happen. But now, I'm glad that I did those things, because I know what happened. And my Lord is faithful. He is faithful. And as he is faithful to Abraham, he can be faithful to you. Trust him in your health problems. Trust him in the changes in your life that's about to happen. Trust him in the things that's coming up. And if God wants you to do it, he will provide for you. And there's no doubt in that. And you will just be overwhelmed with his goodness. And you can but say, thank you, and I love you. It's amazing. My God is so good. Jehovah Jireh, he's faithful. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the time that you provided. Thank you so much that you see our need, but yet not stand there and do nothing about it. But Lord, in your wisdom and all of your power, you provide. You see the need and you meet it. Help us today. We see some people coming into church that we don't know who they are. They might be a visitor, a tender that come. Help us, Lord, to be out of ourselves. And help us, Lord, to live the life you lived. And you came to those people. Help us to minister to the visitors who might be coming that are lost. Help us, Lord, to be ready to preach the gospel, see them for what they need. Help us, Lord, to be kind to each other. Help us to love one another in your love, Lord. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. You got